with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. 2 Corinthians 1 and 5. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound by Christ. 2 Corinthians 1 and 5. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which effectual in the endurance of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. 2 Corinthians 1 and 9. But we had the sense of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Paul talking about himself. Get the picture now. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then verse 10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was talking about himself and all the things he went through. Subject of the sickness, so much of it, I know that God miraculously heals right on the spot. He heals the saints, and he heals the sinners. He heals. He chooses to do this. Sometimes he just uses the doctors, and he uses the medicine to do the healing. But God can touch you tonight or touch anybody we've prayed for, and they can be healed out of any doctors or out of any medicine. But sometimes God chooses to use medicine. I always say thank God for the medicine and the technology that he sent mankind that take away some of the suffering and sickness that we have. And most of us have been sick and use this technology and the medicine that we all take, and thank the Lord for it. And we better because we're here tonight. And God uses that sometimes. Sometimes that's the way that God heals. But he don't always heal, does he? He don't always heal. There's a foundation of that subject here, the subject of sickness and suffering in the saints. Now, the saints, as old Paul, now he loved the Lord, yet Paul was not healed. Paul was not healed. The Bible makes it very plain. You can be right with God and still be sick. Did y'all know that? Paul was not healed. And we'll get to that. It was a thorn in his side, and he prayed for that thing. But God says, no, I'm not going to do it. You're going to keep that. He was not going to take it away. Why was not Paul healed? He prayed for that healing, and a man of God he was. And God would not heal him from that. Well, these deeper life people think, well, because Paul didn't have enough of faith. That's pitiful, isn't it? Said he was weak in faith. No, he was strong in faith. They also say, you know what, if you have enough of faith, you can be healed. That ain't got anything to do with it. Paul had enough of faith to be healed. God says, I'm not going to heal you. Well, someone says, well, it was probably sin in his life. A lot of people think, well, if you're sick, it's because of sin in your life. We know that is absolutely not true. Not necessarily it could be, the Bible says. But just because you're sick don't mean that you have sin in your life. Like Paul, no, he had peace with God, and he had a great heart for God. Well, someone says, well, if you're sickness, you're bowled out of the will of God. Well, we know that's not true either. So he used old Timothy there for an example, Paul is writing to him. Now, Paul had the power to heal, did he not? He had the gift of healing, which you don't have today. He had the power to heal people. He healed people. Paul did. But he didn't heal everybody. And he couldn't heal himself. He couldn't heal old Timothy. In 1 Timothy 5 and 23, remember what he told Timothy? Drink no longer wine, but use a little wine for the stomach's sake, thy often infirmities. You see, that was a medicine. It really would read there as I really studied on that scripture and read what it's talking about, this healing. And in the Greek language, which I can't read Greek, but it would say no longer drink water by itself, mix some fruit juice with it. Well, we know that wine was the fruit of the vine. Mix some with it because of acidity of the water for the stomach. But it says, you know, it says that verse of scriptures, for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities, because Timothy was sick oftentimes. And a lot of y'all might have some stomach condition. It's a continuous thing all the time. Some of you have some sickness that you have to take medicine for. It's a continuous sickness all the time. But yet, Paul could not heal Timothy. He did not heal everybody. Oftentimes, yet he loved the Lord. Timothy was a man that loved the Lord. But God don't heal everybody. We need to pray, but God don't heal everybody. Also, Elisha in the Bible, in 2 Kings 13 and 14, it says, now Elisha was sick of his sickness, whereof he died. He was a great man of God. 2 Kings 13 and 14. He was sick, but of that sickness, he died. There come a time whenever God's not going to heal us. We don't know when that is, so we're going to pray all the time. I want you to pray for me if I get sick. And that's what we're here for tonight. But it's really all up to God, is it not? It is really up to God. Elisha was perfect in communion with God all the time. And sometimes, you know, it's a very dangerous thing for us to point our finger at someone that's sick and say, man, you must not be right with God. That's a dangerous thing to say that. That you're just not right with God. But God has a loving purpose in the sickness and suffering. And I wrote down four things looking at old Paul's life that I thought we might look at tonight. One thing, the power may come through sickness and suffering. It was with Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, I think I already read that. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, the power comes through suffering and sickness. Now, you like me, and I guarantee every one of us, I don't like sickness, and I don't like suffering. And I doubt Paul liked it either. But he says, you know, he joyed in it. He was glad thereof. The glory in my infirmities. What for? Why? It says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the power of Christ. Paul made an amazing discovery, I think, while he was in that sickness condition. The weaker he come physically, the stronger he come spiritually. You say, well, I don't like that, but the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that rest upon me is like he says, tabernacle over me, like spread a tent over me. The power of Christ may, like a tent, spread upon me. We may have this power. God didn't want Paul's strength. He wanted his strength in Paul. Y'all believe that? It was not Paul. Now, a lot of times people want to do something for the Lord. I want to do something for the Lord, but you see, you can't do anything for the Lord. The Lord don't want you. The first thing, the Lord don't want you to do anything for him. It took me a long time to learn that lesson. He don't want you to do nothing for him. He wants to do something through you. You ever pray, Lord, I want to do this. Lord, I want to do that. Help me do this. I want to do this for you. He don't want you to do anything for him. He wants to do something through you because you can't do anything for him, and he does something through you. Every one of us is saints of God. He's got to do this work and give you the power in you. Our strength sometimes, as old Paul was, you know, he was an educated man, but our strength sometimes might be our greatest weakness. Our strength, whatever strength it might be, with intellectual knowledge, whether it be physical strength or whatever the strength might be in any area of our life, that might be one of our greatest weakness. The reason we can't serve the Lord sometimes, it might be the abilities that God give us and we want to use them for the Lord and we're not using them for the right way. And that's our greatest weakness. We think it's our greatest strength, trying to serve the Lord. But also, our weakness might be our greatest strength in a time that we are weak, in areas that we weak in. I know my weakness. I'm not a speaker. You know, I wish I could speak like some people. I'm certainly not an educated person. I'm on the bottom of the list.
And I told God I couldn't preach. But you see, it's not me that's doing the preaching. It took me a long time to learn that also. If God don't preach through me, it won't be no good for me to preach. I can tell you that. And he brings us down where he can use us. I can't, but he can. I'm going to let him. You remember that? You ever heard people say, I can't do this? And I said that many a time. I can't do it. That's right where he wants you. You want to teach Sunday school? No, I can't teach Sunday school. That's right where he wants you. You can't. He can. And I'm going to let him. That's what old Paul went through. And then Paul says, and do this, he had to bring Paul down through these weakness of this sickness. And Paul had to get to a point, and he carried around the sickness, whatever it was. People think it was his eye. He couldn't see good. We don't know what it was, a thorn in the flesh. But Paul said, I'm going to glorify in my infirmities, in my sickness. I'm going to glory in that. Have you ever thanked God for your sickness? Have you ever thanked God for your sickness? Don't you think about that a little while now. Because there's a purpose in it. There's purpose in it. That a power that he wants you to have may come through suffering and sickness. And that might be the only way that he ever lets you have that power. But the second thing, productivity often comes through suffering and sickness. You know, sometimes how we're blessed, and, you know, people's blessed us. And sometimes the blessings to you and I don't always come through health, people that's healthy or wealthy or either happy people. You know, sometimes the blessing to Christians throughout the generation, sometimes they come through people that's sick and suffering. Did y'all know that? I just think about this hymn book. There's a blind lady that wrote a many, she wrote 2,000 hymns, I don't know. Fanny Crosby, wasn't that her name? Probably several in this hymn book, I think. I think she was blind from about 6 months old, and I believe I read the story. It's been a while since I read her life. And throughout, the first sight she saw with her eyes was Jesus Christ. Because she saw Jesus Christ. And throughout all her life, the suffering and the sickness that she went through. But I want you to look at the blessings that we sing these songs. Throughout generations, and how God used suffering and the sickness of that lady to bless generation after generation through multitudes of millions of people of those songs that she wrote. And that's only just one area that we think about this. 2 Corinthians 1:6 says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. That's what Fanny Crosby was all about. It was for someone else. Which ineffectual in the endurance of the same suffering, which we also suffer. Or whether it be comfort, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul says, I can't do it. If it's going to get done, Lord, you got to do it. There's work to do in the Christian life. They work to do at Pleasant Hill. And he wants to work through us. Productivity in our life. We may have to come through suffering and sickness for us to be more productivity in our life, to be more productive. You know, Jesus said in John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You here tonight? You the one that's the center of the church? Foundation of the church on Wednesday night, Sunday night. But you know, God might have to purge us, every one of us, to get us to bear more fruit. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the time of year now. It's what they call the close to 12 days or around Christmas time. It's a time, if you've got fruit trees or any type of trees, it bears fruit or either nuts. It's a time that, you know, you want to cut them back and trim them and prune them. This is the pruning season. It's the time to prune. And we know that The new growth is where the fruit comes. That's true with grapevines. That's true, you know, with pecan trees. That's true with blueberries. About all I know of, they got to be pruned, or they'll produce fruit. Now, the fruit comes on that new growth. And many of you remember now back when we call the olden days, someone have a grapevine. Just about all the farm, all whole home place had a good grapevine, a great arbor, because that was very valuable. Y'all know it. If you ever got you a handful of grapes, because there weren't no 7-Elevens to run to, or no convenience stores to run back to the town, you got you a good handful of grapes or a pear tree, that was good. But you didn't climb on that grapevine and pull that grapevine down and cut that grapevine back. When you left, you took good care of that grapevine. Nobody ever cut all that grapevine. You see how they cut grapevines back today? Used to, our grandfather, they'd had a fit if you'd have cut that grapevine back. But you see, they didn't know. The more that you prune it, the more grapes it has. I didn't know that. I thought you're supposed to leave it alone. But we know now, if you have to prune it, the more that you prune and cut that grapevine back, the more grapes it will produce. That's the pruning. And you know what? That's what God has to do to us sometimes. He has to prune us. And he knows how to do that. And every time that it may hurt sometimes. And every time that God gets ready to use something, he always breaks it. That's what it's talking about, you see. To break us. And every time God ever gets, he's going to use anybody or anything, God always breaks it before he uses it. Y'all remember all through the Bible, the broken things of the Bible? You remember there was some people that couldn't get this man to Jesus Christ, and they broke up the roof? They could let this man down to Jesus Christ? But you remember Jesus Christ broke those bread before he fed those 5,000 people plus women and children? He broke that bread. Remember Mary broke that box of expensive perfume, that bottle of perfume, before it could be poured on Jesus Christ or on Jesus Christ? But then what was really broken was the body of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. See, before God could even use Jesus, his son, it wasn't his life that he lived, was perfect, sinless. But you remember, it wasn't his life. But before God could use Jesus Christ for your sins and for my sins, his body had to be broken. And that's what happened on Calvary's cross. His body was broken. And then it was broken, you see, then God used it throughout all salvation through Jesus Christ. In the 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. We have to die to be broken, and that Jesus Christ will raise us. So we want to thank the Lord for that. Time of brokenness. Now, I try to go to the hospital as many times as I can when I hear people's in the hospital or they're sick. I try to get it as quick as I can, as often as I can, to be able to talk to people, because that's a good time to talk to people whenever they're suffering or going through sickness or either in death. Because a lot of times people don't have time to talk to you. They don't want to talk about the things of life, and they don't want to talk about heaven. They don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about Jesus. But when they're broken and God breaks them enough, you know what? He can get there. I can't, but he can get their attention. Sir, let me tell you tonight, ma'am, young lady, God can get your attention. God knows how to get your attention. Do you know that? And when he gets someone's attention, it's so easier to talk to them. And I, you know, it's good. And they have to be pruned. And then I go and I talk to a lot of people at the hospital, you know, and they make all type of promises. Sometimes they keep it, sometimes they don't. But I'm just saying that's a good time, because God is working on them, and he's pruning them. You know, he breaks them so they can understand that he really wants to use them. And he'll break you first before he can use you. But that's one reason that they're just not healed, but the productivity in their life may improve. And then sometimes purity comes through suffering and sickness. But we know that was not the case of Paul, as already said. Not Paul's case, but we know in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 11:30, 31, and 32, it says, for this cause, talking about now the Lord's Supper, for this cause, he says, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, that's death. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's what I'm talking about, being pruned. You see where the things of our life might be purged and come out. If we would judge ourselves, that we might be pure for the things in our life. Several verses of Scripture of Peter. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who have called us to do this eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Job 23 and 10 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Tried means puts in the fire and purified and come pure as gold. But like what old Psalmist says in 19 and 67, this is true of a lot of us. "Because I was afflicted, I went astray." A lot of people go astray. "But now have I kept thy word." After God gets through with him, you know, he's back where he ought to be, the Psalmist. "For I was afflicted," before God got to talk to him and started pruning him, "I went astray. But after I was afflicted," he said, "but now I've kept the word, I'm back again." God's got a way of getting our attention so many times. But as I hurry on here tonight, purifying the power by suffering, a lot of times that got come, but then there's praise. There's praise that comes through sickness and suffering. As I said, you ever thank the Lord for your sickness? Have you ever? I've talked to several people. Sometimes the sickness was cancer, sometimes it was other type of sickness. I even talked to a man that fell off of a barn and broke something, I forgot what it was, but he I believe it was his arm. Whatever it was, while he was in the hospital, they found out he had cancer by running some tests on him. He didn't even know he had cancer, and it was in his back, and he fell off the barn, and he broke his arm. He said, "Hadn't been for that, they didn't tell where I'd have been." He praised God that his arm got broke, because by through that, they found he had cancer at a good time, at an early age, and you know what? He was treated for it, and he was healed from it. You ever talk to anybody who got sick and thank the Lord for that sickness? Because through that, you see that God made purifying our life and give us praise. You know what? When Jesus Christ speaks about old Lazarus in John chapter 11 and 4, I looked that up. It says, you know, in John 11 and 4, when Jesus heard that, he's talking about Lazarus, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified hereby." That he might be glorified, Jesus Christ might be glorified. And even in our death, our sickness, our suffering, and even our death, we ought to bring glory to the Lord. It might be that me or you, that most of us, you know, that God might be use us the most on our deathbed. He might be able to use you more on your deathbed. It might be the way that you die. It might be the way that I die. It might be the way that we glorify God. He might use you in a strong way that way. We don't know. But we need to glorify God even in our death, to glorify the Lord. Because we know that it says in the Bible, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How that we die. Even though when they describe, the Bible describes Peter there in John chapter 21 and 9, how Peter was fixing to die. And it says, John 20 and 19, "This spoke he," that's old Peter, talking to old Peter, "signified by what death he should glory God. And when he has spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." How he was supposed to be crucified, old Peter. How he's supposed to die. We can glorify God in our health. We can glorify God in our sickness. And I believe we can glorify God in our death. God has to break us to use us. Just because somebody has got ever got money and they're having good health and having a good time, it don't mean they're also right with God. It don't mean somebody is sick in the hospital, sick all the time. It don't mean they're not right with God. God don't heal all the time. God don't heal all the time. I think about old Job. Old Job went through a lot, you know, and old devil just told lies on old Job, and devil went to God, so I was reading, old Job to serve you because look at what he's got. He served you because of what you give him. I mean, he's got a good family. He's got a lot of wealth. He got health. I mean, he's the richest man in the East. And I mean, I saw him reading his servant. He said, "You get rid of, let me get to him. You take his hedge down. I can't get to him. You take the hedge down, and he'll curse you to your face." God says, "You got to. You do anything you want to, but you can't mess with it with the soul. Go ahead." You know what happened to Job? He lost everything. He lost everything. You know, said, "The Lord giveth, The Lord take it away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. What you got this hour, because what God has given you. Even in time of sickness and sorrow and even death, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, I don't understand why God don't heal all God's saints, but he's got a reason for it. His name might be glorified. But we're going to pray for him right on, because we don't know who he's going to heal and who he's not going to heal. We know he can, we know he will, but sometimes he won't, and he's got his reason for it. And sometimes these reasons might be right here on the board. Sometimes it might be something else that I hadn't thought of, but God have, that he might heal us. I thank you tonight. I'm going to let you go home early. And I appreciate the one that's come tonight. And again, I believe in prayer. Be praying for the ones we have on our prayer list. And hope everybody has a good New Year's Day. Invite somebody to be with us Sunday if you can. And spread the word of God that someone might be saved. Anyone have any announcements at this time? Anybody like to say anything? Any praise report? Anything you'd like to say? Anybody like to say anything?